worried guy. I guess I better open my notes. Otherwise, I'm not going to know what to preach. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody excited to be here today? Oh, I love the local church. Love the local church. Love it. I'm so thankful that we have got a local church. Amen. I think about it all the time. I even love just driving by, you know, just being, it's great to be in the town where the church is and to just be able to drive by and say, hey, that's where we go to church. Praise the Lord. And I just love being here. I love being with you all. Amen. It's so great when the brethren come together and all the things that God has for us when we come together. Amen. You know, I was praying about the Supreme Court. We know that there's been most of you probably know there's been a recent vacancy in it. And I'm not here to preach politics because it's not about that at all. But we do know that who is on the Supreme Court matters. Now, everybody's going to say, you know, it shouldn't be a political thing. But we always know that it is. So it doesn't matter what people say, we know what it's going to be. And the thing is we want people there that are going to make the right decisions because, you know, it's the Supreme Court that will ultimately decide things like when the government says you can't have church. It's the Supreme Court that says that. And if you haven't noticed that there's certain people that are quick to want to shut things like this down. Amen. And so we want to make sure that the right ones get in there. And how do we do that? We do that through prayer. We lift our voice, we make our voice be known, praise the Lord. We bind the plan of the devil just as we did, and we trust God to fill those the way that they need to be filled. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so it is a very important thing. You know, we shouldn't, it's very important for Christians not to be too political. And what I mean by that is to not be too vocal about specific ideas that aren't scriptural. And the reason I say this, let me kind of clarify this a little bit. You know, it was about a week ago, I was seeking the Lord on some things, and God started speaking to me about love. And he started, and he showed me some examples. You know, my wife, every once in a while, we have a lot of different kinds of friends on her Facebook account. Amen. You might know that. I don't have one, but there's a lot of different mutual friends on those accounts, and people post all kinds of stuff. You know, people get, especially on Facebook, people like to get very political and stuff. And we have friends on both sides of the aisle, so we see a lot of those different things. But we notice that sometimes what Christians like to do is that sometimes Christians like to post things that are very, that are very kind of like that. Yeah, they get under the skin, people that don't agree with them. You know, good. And God started dealing with me about this one night, and in particular, he was dealing with me about love and how to respond in love. And even though a lot of times, there's a desire in you to, like, want to lash out at something and to be like, get after it, we know that that's not exactly what Jesus did. It's not what Jesus would do. In fact, Jesus, he lashed out against most of the time you see he was lashing out against, if he lashed out, it was against the religious people who were wrong. Amen. It wasn't the people that didn't know any better. And the reason is because we're not going to win people by having a stance. We're going to win people by loving. Now, that doesn't mean, at the same time, that doesn't mean we lay down, the things that we believe in. You'll hear me sometimes preach about things that are happening and stuff like that. That's not wrong. It's not wrong for me to address something so people understand that there's a right way and a wrong way to think. Because sometimes, even as believers, we need to be corrected in our thinking. Amen? So it's not wrong. And plus, we're so bombarded by things out there that it's easy to take a side, so to speak. But we don't want to be people that take the side of anything really but the Word of God and the truth of the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. But it is important to know things, and to watch events that are unfolding, especially the events that are unfolding right now. I mean, it seems to me that a lot of things point to a lot of things going in crazy directions all over the world. I mean, we're having hurricane after hurricane hit the south, if you haven't noticed that and stuff like that. And why I don't think that that's like God just pouring out wrath and judgment. I think the earth is exactly what it says in Isaiah. The earth is reeling. And that, we're seeing the effects of the earth reeling, that sin on the earth for so long is over overburdened it, and it's just starting to flip-flop and turn and all these things. But the Bible says that these things will happen. But the Bible also tells us to stay in a place of faith. Amen. It tells us to remain in a place of assurance with God. You know, as long as we follow God, as long as we're in his plan, folks, we're okay. And so it doesn't matter. I don't just mean okay. I mean, we're good. Amen. And so it doesn't really matter what's happening around us, so to speak. These things will point to different signs. You know, there'll be different signs in the earth and stuff like that. But those things shouldn't distract us. Amen. What should distract us is God and his Spirit. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Today's message is called Faith in His Plan. You know, and it kind of, a little bit in a form is an adaptation of the message I preached last night. I really, you know, I had a lot of things rolling around my spirit in the last few weeks, but really this, there's something that was in last night's message that I was telling my wife even this morning, I just couldn't get off. There's something that just kept stirring back up and stirring back up. And so I'm using maybe a few of the same scriptures, a lot of different scriptures. So if you tuned in, it inevitably will be a different message anyways. But we're talking about the plan of God, and we're talking about having faith in his plan, amen, and standing in that place. And also, you know, part of this is how do we discover God's plan in our lives? How do we walk that out? You know, because it seems that a lot of times we can be searching for something and searching for something, and a lot of times it's right in front of our face. Have you ever done that? You know, I have a little friend named Carl. Praise the Lord. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. Some of you may have no idea. If you have no idea, well, that's fine. But I have a friend named Carl, and Carl is about the size of my thumbnail, but he is three-dimensional, so he's round. He's not flat. But Carl likes to travel. He likes to go in a lot of different places. He likes to see a lot of different things. But Carl is because he's so small, he gets lost very easily. Amen. And there's been times where Carl has, fallen onto the ground. And even though he's right there, right in front of anyone's face who would be there, he's very difficult to detect. Now, Carl is shiny. He's gold. He's got a real pretty, the sun will shine off of him and all these things. And it's a really great thing. I never thought I'd preach about this in a million years. But the reason I bring it up is because there's been times where I've noticed that Carl has gotten into a situation, and even though he's right in front of your face, you can't see him. Amen. And some of you are still looking at me like, what the heck is he talking about? Don't just forget about Carl. Just listen to what I'm talking about. You know, something can be right in front of your face and you can miss it. Amen. And so sometimes, you need an extra set of eyes, or, you know, and this is why the body of Christ comes together, because sometimes is lost. We really gotta, we gotta come together and help each other see what's right in front of our face. Amen. The plan of God, folks, is not hard. You know, we talk about Jeremiah 29:11. Shoot, we got it on the back wall for just a reason to remind people that God's got a plan. But so often in that plan, or looking for that plan, we can tend to get a little bit lost. We can kind of get off in our own space and our what I mean? And we're just like, we're trying to find it. And if you're really hungry, man, you'll just be going after you. I just can't seem to get there. But listen, the plan of God is not hard. And something that the thing that God showed me, and I'm going to reveal it at the beginning of the message, so I'm not even going to make you wait for it. But the thing that I just couldn't get off is how God showed me that the plan of God unfolds as you walk it out. That the plan of God is not something that, you know, you've got to go searching for, that you got to just see enough sermons, or you got to be in church just enough. It's not about doing those things. But it's about as you walk his plan out, as you live a life for God, as you grow. You remember, you can't remember what I remember, but I remember, amen. So maybe I'm just speaking to myself, but remember with me, amen. When, the things that God shows us, the things that he lays out for us, God is taking us into a certain direction. He's taken us in a direction that we're all supposed to go together. Life is not meant to be just this, like, oh, go find this and go find that. Life is a fluid action. We live life. Have you ever noticed that even if things are all screwed up, even if you've been all confused, if you're still alive, you can probably say this. And I suspect everybody here is still alive, right? Praise the Lord. As you've gone through life, no matter what what's gone on, no matter how much you've been hindered, no matter how much things have come up or problems have arisen or different kinds of ideas or scenarios or all of a sudden maybe now you even think differently than you did before and all kinds of things change no matter what. Have you noticed that life doesn't stop moving? Have you noticed that you haven't got, that you still get older? I mean, as long as you're here, you're still aging, right? As long as we're here, we're still moving forward. Have you ever noticed that about life? That should tell us something about life. That life is, God meant life to be that way. God meant life to be something that just continues rolling. And we're supposed to roll with it, baby. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's a reflection of my the 80s, praise the Lord. But we're just supposed to roll with it, man. We're just supposed to go with it. Now, when I mean go with it, I'm not talking about like the hippie, all peace, love, you know, just go with it, man. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about go with God. We need to flow with God and go into the things that he has for us. But the awesome thing about life is that if you follow God, each as you turn each page, each and each day, each second, each minute can be a page. But as you turn each page, as you read to the next paragraph, as you go on to the next thing, God opens up the next part that you need to know. You don't have to know the beginning or the end from the beginning because he does. All you have to know is the one who knows. Amen. And then you haven't got to worry about that. And the reason that we don't know the end from the beginning is because it would overwhelm us. If somebody had showed me 20 years ago, if somebody had showed me today, my life today, I would not have been able to get here. I might have run from it because I wouldn't know how. And not run from it because now I'm sitting here thinking it's so terrible. But no, because I wouldn't have, I would have been so consumed with what I'm doing now. And how I'm doing those things, I wouldn't have even been able to fathom how I could get to that place. But see, God knew that I could as long as I. And I use my examples because my life is the life I'm living. I'm not living yours, amen. And so, as you live your life, it's the same thing. There's no greater promises for me than you. That God wants to walk out, wants you to walk out the plan, amen. Praise the Lord. But what happens is so often we transcribe our lack of faith in ourselves or in humanity, and we project that onto God. We look at, we get so focused on, you know, areas that we failed, and we think, well, we kind of, and inadvertently we do this. We don't do it on purpose always, but we kind of project that weakness onto God. We forget that God is all-powerful, that God has direction for us. And in that direction, there's ability, there's power, there's grace. There's all the things needed to accomplish that. But we stay focused for whatever reason, because we're humans, we stay focused on our lack or the lack in humanity. Or sometimes as a pastor, I've gotten caught up in this when I look around and I'm like, man, what's the point? As we do, and I'm not talking about here, we have wonderful church family. I love my church family. I love the people that call this church their church, that call the Corey Church their church, you know. I'm so glad that God has connected me to all of you. But as I look out into the world and I see all the things that are happening in the world, and sometimes doesn't it look like it's hopeless out there? Sometimes doesn't it look like it's like, what? Why do we even bother keep doing this? Because there ain't nobody listening. There's nobody, you know what I mean? But see, the thing is that's because we focus in what we understand and not what he understands. Jesus said that with God, all things are possible. Amen. And if all things are possible through God, then we need to focus our faith and our attention on him. Now, we're going to start this off by talking about faith. So we're going to turn to the great faith chapter, Hebrews 11, and we're going to start in verse 1. Amen. In case you didn't know what faith was, and I know you've heard it here before, but we're going to go do it again. Amen. Hebrews 11, 1. We're going to read verse 1 and 2. Praise God. Hallelujah. Says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. So I put before you, by what did the elders obtain a good testimony? By faith. Faith is the thing, or the testimony is the thing we're all after. If you pray to God, what you are praying for ultimately is your testimony. You want something to change. right? If you go to God and you're asking him for something, unless you're just fellowshipping with God, but I'm talking about if you ask God for anything, if you sought God for something specific, your testimony is discovering or getting to that place of what that is. Your testimony is your ability to say, this happened. Amen? Praise the Lord. Your testimony at the end of the week is a paycheck. Yeah. Right? When you get a paycheck from your, that's the testimony of all those hours you spent doing what you didn't want to do. Yeah. Right? I mean, isn't that what it is? Like, there's nobody who's unhappy when they're handed a paycheck unless the paycheck is less than what they expected. Then that's a bad testimony, amen? But you want a good testimony. And so, but the Bible tells us that it's by faith that the elders, or the people that have gone before us, the people of faith before us, the ones who are examples, it's by faith that they obtained that testimony. So in other words, the work that they did to get their paycheck was the work of faith, amen? And so faith is the guarantee, it's the promise, it's our belief in those things, amen? Faith is discovered in your profession of what you believe to be true, amen? So your faith can be found in what you are saying. And I know I say these things often, but it's very important that we do not lose track of this. And when I mean it's what we're saying, I'm not talking about, you know, there's this idea in some parts of our faith of our camp of what we call confession cop. You know, there's a confession cop when you say something that's out of faith and somebody comes up and they confession cop you. They say, oh, you shouldn't say that. Or you know what I mean? And that is true. There's things that we shouldn't say. But sometimes that idea goes too far and everybody's stumbling over everywhere. Listen, if you miss it once, and you, in anger or whatever, or being upset or however, whatever happens, and you say something that maybe isn't the most faith-filled statement, that doesn't mean that your whole life is going to go to pot. Doesn't mean all of a sudden that you're going to lose, you know. We got to get over it. What it really is that the Bible teaches us that the words that we speak come from a place generally, the words that we speak on a normal basis, come from a place of our belief. In other words, how you speak is generally the way that you believe. When I say what you say, I'm talking about the things you say on a day-to-day basis. How do you look at something? How do you view something? Generally, what you speak about those things come from your view on how you speak. If you, if you are politically bent, you're going to say things from how you believe, how you see. Now, this is why we have to be careful with how we deal with what other people believe. This is why we have to be careful when we deal with other non-believers and all these things. And that's why I was saying all that stuff in the beginning. Because, listen, somebody may believe wrong, but that's not necessarily their fault. It's only their fault when they refuse to believe right. Now, there is that other side of things, and of course we see that too. But we have to have our hearts open to what other people, when I mean open, I mean we have to give people room to be wrong. We have to give people room to be different or to see things from a different point of view. One of the things that I have learned in life, especially in the last 6 months, is that it was really easy to say things a year ago that I wouldn't say today because I've learned something new by going through it. Yeah. Amen? And so we have to understand that we have to be careful about when we judge the actions of other people. But in that, we also have to judge the actions that we're doing, and we have to judge our faith by what we say, how we speak, or how we, you know, praise the Lord. Now, I would say this, that if you just came in here for the first time, which I don't think there's anybody new in here today, but if you had come in here for the first time, you may hear things out of my mouth that you haven't heard before. But those things, I'm preaching the truth. I'm preaching God's word. I'm preaching out of the truth. It's people who didn't have the truth that could be hearing things for the first time. Amen. It might not be easy for them to understand, but there's a transition that needs to happen. And that transition comes over time of putting the right things in. But it's important for us to understand that. Our faith is what we truly believe. And our actions will always, generally speaking, over the course of time, will end up with what you believe. Have you ever missed it for a period of time? I mean, have you ever had a period of time where you just couldn't get it right? God isn't looking to try to, like, just destroy you or stop you. I mean, seriously, I've missed it actually for, I've gone through long periods of time where I've missed it a lot. But you know what? As I keep a heart towards God and a heart focused on the Lord, what I've found is that God always, he always comes through. Now, that's not to say that we just drop everything and get lax. You know, there's balance to everything, right? And we need to find the balance, amen? So what are we saying? Faith is discovered in our profession of what you believe to be true. Why does this matter? Why do I bring it up? Because if you are after or interested in the plan of God, what you believe about his plan and the way he does things will absolutely matter. You will not walk out the plan of God in your life if you don't even understand or believe in what the true plan of God looks like. The first place that we learn about the true plan of God is here. And this is why we try to tell people all the time, why we do tell people all the time. We need to get our lives to look like this. We need to change our thinking to look like this. This is a wonderful thing. I was listening to this apologist, and they were talking about the concept of love is love. This was brought up, you know, and we've all heard this. Love is love. You know, you can love whoever you want to love. And the apologist said something I thought was very interesting. I love this. He said, even the people that say that don't believe it. They don't. And somebody else was like, well, what do you mean by that? And he said, because here's the thing. Everybody draws the line somewhere. Everybody has some kind of line where they won't cross. You know, say love is love. Well, is it okay for and we're talking about a love relationship like a marriage type relationship. Is it okay for a father to love his daughter that way? Well, absolutely not. Most people would draw a line. I know some people are not drawing that line, but most people would draw a line at that. But you notice that everybody will draw the line somewhere. And so what this apologist was saying was interesting. He says, if we all have different standards, then how do we know whose standard is correct? How do we know whose standard is wrong or right or wrong? We don't. Because if everybody's standard is different, then you can never come to unity on it. And this is why the Word of God is so important. Because if we understand that the Word of God is God's will, then his standard supersedes all standards, and then there's never a question about it. So we can look at our own standard and say, well, if it doesn't line up with his standard, then it isn't right. It's not. It's off, amen? And so this is how we can balance a lot of things out. But the same thing goes, I say all that to say this, that when we look at our own lives, as we live our lives, as we're like, is my life in the plan, we have to measure against a standard that's beyond our own. If we measure it against our own standard, it's always going to be off. Right. Because your standard will change. One thing I've learned by being 44 is that I think a lot differently than I did when I was 24. I think a lot differently when I was 24 than I did when I was 4. Amen? And I imagine when I'm 64, I will have greater revelations of things and think differently than I did at 44. Amen? And so this is the thing that we know about that fluidity of life, that process of life, that as we grow, we grow. We learn more, we change, and things will change. And there's nothing wrong with that. We have to be open to that change, but we have to be measuring it against a standard that is higher than our own. I say this to get back to that first idea about faith. If you want to have faith in God's plan, have faith in God's plan, then you have to have faith in the way that God does things, not your own way. You have to understand that it is by his standard and his ability, not by your own. And so our faith has to constantly look back to the things of the Bible. This is why we always pit our thoughts up against the Word of God. Are my thoughts in line with the Word of God? Because if they're not, then I'm out of the faith. And see, the only way to obtain that testimony at the end of that is by having that faith that God has prescribed for us. The faith in his way, amen? God's way is not difficult. God's way is not hard. It's not hard to follow God's way. It is against our flesh, but it's not hard. Amen? Praise the Lord. And this is something that we learn over time, praise the Lord, but it's really beneficial. See, the wonderful thing I love about this, I didn't know these things when I started off, but in some form or another, I had somebody teach me these things throughout the years, and my life adapted and got better as I went because of that. Some of these things may be new to you. Some of these things may be, you know, you've heard these things before, or you thought these things before. But listen, these things will take you into the better if you will follow them. Amen? It's all about making those steps. If we desire a different reality, the reality of the things we speak must change. Amen. Notice I didn't just say what you say, but the reality of the things that you say. In other words, the truth that you speak out. We have to have a different reality than our own reality. Amen. We have to have God's reality. The reality of what we say is what our faith is. And so we have to understand that if what we say is not God, I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm repeating myself on purpose. If what we say is not does not line up with the word, we cannot build faith that gives the testimony. Because God did not promise testimony or outcome through anyone's faith except for the faith that he delivered, the faith that he gave us. The way that God says it works, that's how he promised it, not through any other way. Now, the way that God promised it is not that if you do enough good things, you'll get there. That is not the faith of God. Now, the faith of God will lead us into good things. Amen? And a lot of times you can tell somebody's faith by what they're doing. Amen? But it's not those things that get you there. It's kind of like if I go out in the, you know, I go out in my backyard and I start digging a hole or start working in the backyard. I'll come in, my wife says, ooh, you're sweaty. You're nasty. When I went out there, maybe I even just took a shower, but when I went out, when I come back in, there's a noticeable difference, isn't there? Yeah. And she always notices it, make sure I know that she notices. Amen. You're not going to bed like that, right? Nope, I'm going to shower beforehand. Praise the Lord. Sometimes if I'm just so tired, you know, I'll throw a towel down on the couch and then sit down on that. But I can only do that for a minute because that'll get saturated too, amen? But there's a noticeable difference. It's the outcome of work. There's something that comes out of it. Works are something that come out of faith, just like that. When you live a life of faith, works just happen. This is the thing. Christians get caught up on the works. Man, if I've done enough, I've had so many people come to me, I just don't feel like I'm doing enough. If you just follow God and you just do what you know to do, you don't have to worry about not doing enough. You'll do exactly what you need to do when you need to do it. And if you want to do more, you just put it before God and say, in faith, though. See, you have to put things before God in faith. And what I mean by that is you say, Lord, I want you to help me do more. But when you say those words, when you go before God, if you want a testimony, you have to have faith. The faith is your trust that if you say to God, Lord, I want you to help me do more, your faith is in your heart. You know when you say those words, you know he will help you do more. Yeah. Not go to God saying, Lord, I want you to help me to do more. And say, I wonder if he's going to do it. I wonder if he's going to do it. I don't know if he's, I don't feel any change. You just know it. Yeah. You just set in your heart, I know as a matter of a fact that I am going to, what I'm asking of God, he is going to do in me. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So we have to go to God in faith, but we have to stop worrying about, you know, dotting every I and crossing every T. We just have to have a heart after to do what's good. Amen? If what you affirm comes from the heart, then that is an indicator of what your belief is. What you affirm. I took this further, not just what you say, but what you affirm. You know, everybody says something maybe in anger or sadness or whatever. They'll say things they don't mean, right? Has anyone ever said something they don't mean? You know that afterwards, especially if you're repentant about it, you know that that was in your heart. In fact, a lot of times for a lot of people, when they're repenting to somebody else for something they say, you know that's not me. You know that's not how I think. And this wasn't me. This was out of character. And so I apologize for that. Amen? See, that's not what you affirm. What you affirm is day in and day out, man. If I think any one of you could say this statement, Pastor Jeff affirms that God is good. I can't imagine that anyone who has sat in any of my churches would think about me that I don't believe anything other than that God is good. Why? Because I affirm that. It's sure. I stand on that principle. Maybe above any other, I stand on that principle. And so you can look at me and say that, amen. And I would say the same thing about you. I believe you do too. Amen. But so what we affirm, and so that's an indicator of what our belief is. Not, you know, I woke up today with a bellyache, so I said something stupid. Not today I had a headache, so I said something stupid or did something stupid. But what do? Day in and day out, amen? And on the other side of this, I just want to throw this in there, although this wasn't planned, but on the other side of this, this is also what sin is. You know, when the Bible warns about sin that sends to hell and stuff like that, it's not something that somebody struggles with or somebody steps in once in a while, but it's something that you affirm on that side of things. So when you say, I'm just going to live this way, that's the way it is. I'm going to live, I'm going to live in fornication, which is premarital sex, basically. Basically, that's what it is. I'm going to live in fornication. I'm just going to do that. Then you are affirming that you are going to live in sin. And by doing so, you have put yourself at the risk of going to hell. But now if you, like, you're going through life, and I'm not suggesting that you do this, but you have a mistake, you know, you make a mistake or you stumble in something, that's something totally different. Or maybe you didn't know, and then all of a sudden you learn, and now you change that. You know what I mean? So that it's the same thing. It's the things that we affirm. God looks at the heart. Amen? Glory to God. Now, let's turn to 2 Timothy 3:1. Glory to God. Hope you're getting something here today. God loves us. Gotta get there first. 2 Timothy. Excuse me. Second Timothy 3:1. Now we've gone to these sections of scriptures, but I'm gonna read one and skip down to another. So we're gonna go to 3:1, then we're gonna skip down to 3:5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. We're starting to see that, aren't we? And then it goes on to say, for man will, and it tells all that man will do. And then verse 5, it says that man will have having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now, this is interesting because denying its power is actually has kind of a several-fold meaning. Amen. And this is something that I really wanted to get in here. This is something the Lord was dealing my heart on. Having a form of godliness, perilous times will come. And part of the reason perilous times will come is because this will be happening. They will have a form of godliness, but they will deny its power. Okay, so we're going to look at first what it means to deny. Deny means to not accept. It means to reject or to refuse something offered. So there's a couple ways you can deny its power. You could say, there's no power there. Okay, or you can look at something that is the power of God and say it's not the power of God. You're denying the power. But there's another way that you can deny the power of God or the power of anything or anything, and that's by saying, I don't want that. I don't want to do that. That's also a form of denial. That's refusing. That's saying, oh, I don't want it. So here's the thing that's offered. God has offered us these things. He's offered us the truth of the word. But Christians, and this is why this is so important, because Christians who take the word or they read the word or they hear the word preached and they say, I don't like that. It doesn't match up with my life. Wait, stop. Don't read anymore. I don't want to hear anymore. You know what I mean? Away the power, they're denying the power of God. So these aren't just people that are looking at the power of God like they see a Holy Ghost service and they say, that's not God at all. You see, you gotta be careful about those things. If you make public statements denying the power of God in a service that you weren't part of, that you don't know, or maybe you need to be careful about that. Yeah. This is why it's very, very important that you don't just go around casting judgment on every little thing. One of the things that is a detriment and a danger to our society is the very fact that what qualifies people to have an opinion is the fact that they have an opinion. Have you noticed that? I myself too. And I've had to correct myself too, and I do. I will say this though, I correct myself a lot more than a lot of people do. See, the problem with today's society is not that people have an opinion, but they feel that they're qualified to have an opinion. You know, everybody wants to speak about everything, don't they? They want to say, you know, what I love is that, and it doesn't matter what politicians and other people speak about things. Now, of course, over the course of time, we can know if something is right or wrong by certain actions. Amen. But when somebody says or does something, and have you noticed that in today's society, somebody will say or do something, and then they will make a judgment call based on one thing someone said? They actually did that with our current president. They said he is a racist because he said he was going to ban Muslims. That's where it started. That's not what he was implying. That's not what he was saying at the time. I remember when he said it. And this isn't to support him. This is just to tell you the truth. But see, the thing is what he was the point he was getting to is that the predominantly Muslim countries those are the ones where terrorists are coming from. So those countries, and this is an expanded way of saying what he wasn't saying. But see, everybody jumped on just the words. We have the word police today. Have you noticed that? Yeah. That's why we have to be careful about judgments that we pass based on little information. You know, the campaigns right now, and we've seen this, campaigns are running. This is politics, by the way. I'm just explaining this because this has crept into socialism, humanity, and to the point where it's the same across the board. These things used to be just in politics. Now they're everywhere. Yeah. That's why I'm talking about it. But they'll take snippets of what someone said in different things, and they'll put them together and make a whole new video and then put it out. There was one, again, that I saw about our current president that they put out there that is not right. They took one thing he said over here, one thing he said over here. They took out all the stuff in the middle, put it together, and they put it all over the news. And you know what? People believe it. And you know why they believe it? Because care to fact check. They don't care to look into other things. Now, am I talking about, well, you got to vote for President Trump? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying this is the culture of our society to do things like this, and the society doesn't change. But what the problem is that all this stuff has ended up lashing out into the streets. It's lashing out at people that now you can't even make a decision based on these certain things without being called a racist or without being called a bigot. Is that truth? That isn't truth. But see, that's the culture of our society. And the reason I bring these things up is because that culture is creeping into the church. It's creeping into church-minded people. You should not have that mindset. If your mindset is changed by the nightly news, you're a fool. I'm just telling you the truth. If you watch CNN, Fox News, I don't care what channel you watch. If that's where your truth comes from, you're a fool. You are falling in line, you are a victim to the game, and that's all you're ever going to be. That is a form of denying the truth. This isn't, again, I hope you understand that I'm trying to relate that to how we look at the word. Because if you will embrace false truths in the world, that becomes your reality, and you will not embrace the word, you will not understand it. See, this is, you got people all the time, they're arguing about the word, they're saying, well, the word promotes. It doesn't. You have people point to scripture. Well, this is what it says here. They say it promotes pushing women down and stuff. No, it doesn't. When you look at the truth of the word, when you understand the word, but see, these are people that have opinions about the word that aren't based in any truth. When people say things like God gives and takes away, yes, you can point to a scripture that says that. But without understanding the scripture that says that, you speak it from a place of untruth. So sometimes, I tell my kids this all the time, sometimes you can make decisions that could be right, but the way you go about it is wrong, and it makes it wrong. And see, so that's why we have to be people who are, I want the truth and only the truth. Amen? As a Christian, I don't live this way as a pastor. I live this way as a Christian. My heart can be changed by the truth at any given point in time. I am not a family churchite. I am not a Pastor Michaelite. I am not a Pastor Timite. You know what I mean? And you better not be a Pastor Jeffite. We are people who desire the truth. We're trying to get there and understand it together. That's what we want. Now, it's good to have all those other things. It's good to have, people speak in your lives and, of course, stuff like that. Well, praise the Lord. So to deny is to accept, to reject, or to refuse something offered. Amen. Now, the power, that's a whole nother interesting thing. And I looked this up because I want to get it. There's actually a lot to it. Here's some points. The power is literally strength, power, or ability. Excuse me, ability. Meaning in different forms. Okay, here's one. Inherent power. That is power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. And so a virtue by your nature. You know, when you were in the world, when you were a sinner, a hopelessly lost sinner, you lived as a sinner, right? Because that was the virtue of what was in you. That was in you, and that was what was coming out. And so that was all your ability and all your power that you had. But one of the things we know about when you come to Christ is that now you have a new nature. You have a new interior. Praise the Lord. God comes in and remodels your house. Amen. Cleans it up, make it fit for a temple. Right? And so he moves on in, and now you have a new nature. And so the power in this case would be to be living by your new nature. But one of the biggest problems in Christianity is that so many Christians, they refuse that new nature, and they only hang on to their old nature. So they try to live in a new life. They try to live a new life with the old nature. Guess what doesn't work? You know, Jesus compared it to putting new wine in old wineskins. What did all that mean? Well, wine, as it ages, it ferments and it expands, right? And so a wineskin that has been, that has held a new wineskin, when you put new wine in it, it will expand with the wine, right? But when that expansion stops, it gets to a certain point, and then that expansion stops. Well, if you take that and you emptied that wine out and you put new wine in the old wineskin, that's already been stretched to the place where it's as much as it's going to go, and now it's going to break. Yeah. It's not going to work. And see, that's kind of the same idea. When you try to be something new and something old, it doesn't go together. It breaks. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so to refuse that power, the inherent power, is to refuse that what God has put in us. Another part of what that word power means is power or ability. You remember that's what it is. Ability or power for performing miracles. There's some people that refuse that. God isn't a miracle worker anymore. What are you doing? They're refusing the power. And so they don't have that power working in their lives. See, whatever you refuse, you're not going to participate in. You know what I mean? If somebody comes to, or if you go to a car dealership to buy a new car, what do we know about car dealerships? Car salesmen, they always try to pressure you into buying that vehicle. My wife and I, when my wife was looking for, when she was looking for her next vehicle, was very, very studious about what vehicle she wanted. And we were very clear when we went to the car lots. My wife is determining what vehicle she wants. There was characteristics she wanted, and that's what she wanted above everything else. And then after that, she would look at the looks. So my wife was actually looking at it in a very intelligent way. But that kind of poses a problem, because when you go to a car lot, you don't know which car lot to go to. So she knew the class of the vehicle, the type of vehicle that she wanted. And so she started researching the different vehicles in that class or category. And so we went to different car lots. And we did this over about, what, a year and a half? 2 years. We did this over 2 years. We test drove probably 30 different kinds of cars in that 2 years. High-end cars, low-end cars, it didn't matter. We were just putting it out there, you know. But one thing I said as we went up to the car lot is, this is the purpose that we're here. We're not buying a car today. My wife is determining which car she wants, right? Now, this one young man we went to, he's an excited young man, newer car salesman, and he was a nice guy and everything. And we went and test drove that car, and I said the exact same thing to him. Amen? And when we got done, we went in, they wanted to take our name and stuff, you know, as they normally do, which we were fine with. They can call back and ask if we want it. And he started talking about signing paperwork to get the car. And I looked at him and I shook my head. I said, oh, no, 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 no. I said, we're not buying this car today. And he looked at me like a cow at a new gate, right? He was like, what do you mean? I said, I told you we're not buying this car today. We got other cars to look at. We're not making the determination of what, yeah, this was a nice car. I agreed with it. And he liked it because he kept asking us, well, what do you think about it? Yeah, it's a nice car. Runs great. What's wonderful? Yeah, this nice stuff, nice interior. Nice. He took that to mean we're buying the car. But we don't work that way, amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. We weren't buying what he was selling. Yeah. See, that's the thing. If you determine in your heart that you're not buying what somebody's selling, you're not going to buy the wrong thing. And see, you're only gonna accept the right things. And so, you know, I guess that works into it here. But if you're not buying the miracles, then you're not getting the miracles, amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And as it turned out, we didn't end up buying that car. And so even though Mazdas are nice cars, my wife does not drive a Mazda. Amen. We didn't, we refused it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It also means moral power and excellence of soul. That's excellence of mind. So moral power, if you determine in your heart that you are going to refuse it, you won't have it. Amen. Praise the Lord. The power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth. If you don't believe that God is a God that wants you blessed, then you won't live as one who is blessed. It's the truth. So you refuse, you have a form of godliness. I'm a Christian. I have a cross on my door. I wear one around my neck. Praise the Lord. I quote Bible verses, but I subscribe to the whole thing. Amen. And you notice that some of these things, you could agree with some of them and not the others. So you will have some of them active and some of them not. But you'll never have the fullness of anything. If you only accept part of God, you will never have the fullness of any of God. Amen. You can only get the fullness of God when you subscribe to the whole thing. It's the whole truth. Amen. Power and resources arising from numbers. So that's another thing. A lot of people reject that. There is power and resources available to each Christian as they connect to the local work of God, the local church, the local body. As you connect to the body and you become part of it, there are certain things that God sets aside and delegates for your life based out of that. There are people that are just not interested in the local church. What are those people? People who won't have the power and ability that comes with being part of that. Do you know that everything in your life will be affected by how you connect to the local church? Everything. There are things that God has for your life that will only be discovered in the local church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. To give you an example, our life is blessed because we are fulfilling the plan of God. I only discovered the plan of God fully for my life by being in the local church. I would not have discovered it any other way. I could not have discovered it any other way. So God couldn't have blessed me the way he wanted to. Why? Because if I refused it, amen? And then also power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. There is a power that is available to us of armies, angel armies. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, you have attacks, different things. You don't know where they came from. The Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Spiritual powers, right? There's heaven, there's hosts in the unseen realm. What do you need to fight those things? I guarantee you Windex isn't going to do it. Lysol won't do it. You can squeeze as much hand sanitizer on the devil as you want. It isn't going to stop him. Sometimes we need these other things, but we can deny that and go without. Amen? You can deny the power by not connecting to the plan of God for your life. Amen? And this is why we need to be part of the plan. The plan is just not, you know, we read the plan and we're like, okay, for I know the thoughts I think toward you. So he's thinking thoughts, that's good. And the plans that he thinks towards me, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Amen. I like that. God's got thoughts of peace and not of evil for my life. Thank you, Lord. You want good things for my life? To give you a future and a hope, an expectation. That's good. I like that. I like that for my life. The plan. It's in the plan. It's not opposite the plan. It's not aside from the plan. It's not despite the plan. It's not alongside the plan. It is right smack dab in the middle of the plan. You can't get there if you're not in the plan. So how do you get in the plan? That's what you're asking. Well, it's not hard to get in the plan. You start walking the plan out. You start following after God. Amen. We're going to see that. Praise God. Hallelujah. To be part of the plan does not mean you have to be in the face of it. Or you have to be the face of it. You know, when we talk about the plan, it doesn't mean that you have to be a pastor. You'll be like, well, what does this mean? Am I going to have to go do this and this and this and all this other stuff? No, it doesn't necessarily mean any of that. You ain't got to worry about what the plan looks like for your life. Just worry about being in the plan. He will show you what it looks like as you walk it out. You won't know it all. You could start thinking, like, if I start talking about plan or serving God or following after the plan of God, inevitably, the devil's going to throw all kinds of things in your head. You're going to have to give up this, and you're going to have to stop doing this, and then your life is going to have to change like this, and you're not going to even like it. Nobody will even recognize you anymore. You have to get rid of all your friends and all the people that you knew and all this stuff. The devil's going to make it look bad. Why? Because he don't want you in the plan. Why? Because he knows you're blessed in the plan. The devil doesn't want you blessed. Guess what? God wants you blessed. That's why he delivered the plan and the one who would get you to the plan. And he didn't just, I mean, God went overboard. He said, I'm not just going to send you a savior, I'm going to send you my son. Right? Praise the Lord. And not just a savior, his son. And then afterwards he says, and I'm giving you my spirit too, just to make sure you keep in line. And I'm giving you the word, and I'm giving you a church, and I'm giving you pastors, and I'm giving you a prophet, and an evangelist, and I'm giving you all kinds of things to make sure you're in the plan. Why are Christians not in the plan? Because they don't give a rip about the plan. They only care about the life, they only care about the old wineskin. They always go back to the old wineskin. Listen, if your life is perfectly hunky-dory fine without God, then live it that way. Why would you need God? The reason we all sit here is because our life was not perfectly hunky-dory without God. We needed God in our lives. So let go of the garbage that didn't ever get you anywhere and grab on to the real thing, the power of God. But see, that is that leap of faith. It takes faith to see this and that. See, you know what? You know what's awesome about living a life of garbage? Because I've been there. When you live it long enough, you finally get to a place where you're like I'm going to leap because I'm tired of being here. You know what I mean? I'm on this edge. I've been on this edge long enough. The edge is crumbling. Everything's falling apart. I'm tired of being here. So I'm leaping. It's foolishness to fall into the pit of despair. This isn't what God has for any of us. So why would we allow ourselves to fall into the pit of despair? Leap into faith. Leap over to God. Listen, this is the great thing about the leap of faith. You ain't got to know anything except for trust God. The only thing you need to get into the realm of faith is to say, Lord, I now trust you, so I'm going, boom, that way. That's all there is to it. That's all you have to. You haven't got to, I got to get everything figured out. I got to make sure this is in order and my job and my family and my kids and my husband and my wife or my whatever it is. You ain't got to do all that. All you got to do is say, God, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. And then if you get distracted in the plan, guess what you do? God, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. I'm doing what I know to do. And as you learn these little things, as you read the word, as you pray, as things are revealed to you, then you step and you say, okay, I'm going with you a little bit more. And I'm going with you. It doesn't have to be a big thing. Everybody makes it too big. And when you make it too big, you can't do it because you never could do big things anyways. God has a plan. The plan isn't hard, but you just have to determine. You trust him enough. You have to get back into that place. If you want the testimony that comes at the end, you have to say, I'm just going to do what you do. Tell me to do. Part of that is trusting where God connects you, the places that God connects you. Listen, you are all connected here. I know you are. So be connected. What does that mean? It means to be connected. It means as you know to do good, you do it. Amen? One of the things, you know, and I've done this too, I do this too. But it's not exactly right. And some of you have come to me and said, you know, I want to do more. Tell me something to do. Give me something to do. It's not always my job to direct you on what to do. Just as it's not my elder's job to always direct me. Sometimes it's my job to recognize, or your job to recognize, what it is God has put in you. Seek the Lord. Say, Lord, you've put things into me. What can I do? Now, listen, if you've come to me and you're just like, you know, as your pastor, and you're like, you know, I want to offer some time or something. That's not what I'm talking about, you know, because we've had some people in here even recently that have offered that, and we've directed them. God has directed them. But, you know, what I'm talking about is just in general, our life shouldn't be always like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Just do what you know to do and know that it's the plan of God. If your heart is to be in the plan of God, you ain't got to worry about the rest. The problem is some people, they don't ever ask. Some people don't ever ask God. They never ask anyone else. They're just like, I'm just going to go float through life. See, you can't just float through life. Then you get what just floating through life gets you. Yeah. Seek the Lord. Where do I fit in? What do I bring? But seek him also in faith. Lord, where do I fit in? But when you ask him that question, know in your heart that he will show you and make it clear to you, and maybe you'll get a piece of it. And you'll come to us and you'll say, this is what I'm getting. And because we've had this too. And we'll say, well, that's not quite all of it yet. Or that's not quite the direction yet. So don't just give up and say, well, I didn't know. No, you say in your heart, you need to say, okay, well, then that is direction and helping me figure that out. But you're not going to know the end from the beginning. Praise the Lord. I've got examples of some wonderful things that are happening here. some wonderful things that people are doing just because they've gotten to that place where they've got to, there's more. They just got to have more. They got to do more. Listen, Christian, if you don't desire more, then you got to check up on your faith. Because if your faith is just, I'm just going through the motions, I'm just doing this, you're off in the wrong direction. What's a, lost is the wrong direction. Not knowing where you're at, wrong direction. Not knowing what you're going to do, wrong direction. So what do you do in that case? What do you do when you're there? The first thing to do is recognize you're in the wrong place. Because with God, it's never lost. Even when you don't know to do, even when you don't know what you're going to do, there's never loss in God. There's never, I don't know where I'm going. Because there's always something that's coming. It doesn't mean you know every step, the next, you know, each step for the next 10 steps. But you, if you know you're in the right, then you just keep going in the right. Amen? And God will guide you. Man, I am not getting where I want to go. And I guess I can't get there either. Praise the Lord. But maybe we'll go back to this. Because there are some really cool things that I saw in the Word. But we seek the Lord on where it is He has us. The plan of God is not a difficult place for us to be. It's not a place, a difficult place to get to. But remember, the plan of God only unfolds. Remember what, was it James? I think I have it written down here. James 2:20 says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? To claim that you believe something and never have corresponding actions negates what you say. Faith without works is dead. So how does that look? It looks like this. You continue on in faith. You just keep going in faith. What brought you back here today? Maybe you'll even say, I don't know what it was that brought me back. Just something keeps, but it's faith. That's faith. Maybe it's faith trying to be born in you. Maybe it's faith trying to break out of you. But if you've wondered, why do I keep doing this? Or if you're wondering why has it gotten stale? Because you haven't grown, you haven't gone anywhere. Do you know that if something doesn't continue to grow, it dies? Yeah. And so Christians is the same thing. That doesn't mean, again, growth doesn't mean that we all have to be able to preach a sermon next week or anything like that. It means that you just are making those steps. Keep coming. You keep coming up to it and not let go of it. And in those times where it feels dry, you keep pushing through. What I'm talking about is faith. I'm not talking about the message. But the message, please press through too. If the message is dry, just press through. We'll have another good one. I promise you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so you're going to press through with faith. You're just going to keep going. You're just going to, because you know that God is good. You have to resign yourself to those facts. Your faith in God will carry you through. But when you go, when you make those steps, sometimes those steps are going to be, but you just step out going, I know God will be there. And when I make the next step, I know God will be there. And when I move on to the next thing, I know God will be there. And even if I miss it, God will be there to help directly. But you got to be willing to listen. Amen? That's the key. And so faith isn't hard. The plan of God isn't hard. But until you're on that path of the plan, you're never going to see the fullness of God in your life. Let's just determine in our hearts we're going to be on that plan. Maybe you even put before God. Maybe it was a long time ago you put before God. God, I want to do this, this, and this. And you still haven't got there. If it's on your heart, just keep pressing. Just keep going. So, Lord, thank the Lord when you think about it. Instead of getting depressed, thank the Lord. Say, Lord, I know you're working it out in me. I know you're working it out. Now, if you know that there's something in you you got to change, that's between you and God, and you change it. Or you work at it, or you go before God and say, God, I just can't change it. I need you to help me. But for everything else, you just keep coming back to him. Say, oh, we're going on to the next one. We're going on to the next one. You're going on to the next one. Because like I said last night, life is like a book. Amen? The plan of God is like a book. If you don't turn the page, you're never getting to the end. If you don't finish chapter one, you never get to chapter two. If you want to get to the next chapter, if you want to get to the next greater thing, then you got to go through the steps. And those steps are just following God with the willingness to get there. Amen? And with faith that he will get you there. Amen? And I want to end powerfully on that note. Faith that God will get me there. You're getting me there, God. Praise the Lord. You're getting me there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.